Welcome to Wrestling Insight on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Jeremy here. Please go to republicbroadcasting.org. Smash the donate, send the fundage. To keep free speech alive, make your check a money order payable to RBN 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Call in that debit or credit card to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. And you can donate $100 or more and put your name in the running for a book. You can win a book from John Statmiller's library. The book of the week is Tex Mars Lucid. That's L-U-C-I-D. And published in 1996. Interestingly enough, it was about accepting something in your body to be able to function in society, even infants. And it was about smart television spying on you. A very telling book, if you would have read it back then, and you're alive to see what's going on today. So please donate and put your name in the running for this book. The winners will be announced on Steve's show, 7 p.m. Central on Sunday night on RBN. And if you don't win it this week, you're still in the drawing for next week. We are in the month of Christmas, by the way, and RBN is the bastion of free speech. And sometimes free speech doesn't have prep because you have presenters and you have people in RBN and hosts that get in from work and they don't have time to do all the prep that's necessary, but they muddle on. This is your Tuesday night broadcast with Patrick and Jeremy show, and there's much to talk about, but maybe a little prep because we're working class stiffs. Patrick, welcome to the show. How are you, my friend?
Yeah. The name's Slattery. I got reservations for a dog, 7:30. That'll be fine. Oh, I'm sorry, Jeremy. Were you talking to me?
Oh, were you making Christmas reservations for your family and your dog at a restaurant?
Got reservations for a dog. Okay. No. Working class stiffs. Just got off work, and here we are.
Well, there's still a lot to talk about. I mean, I covered a lot of Israel-Palestine stuff last night. I heard your broadcast with, today with Cato. That was very interesting. So, I mean, yeah. What do you have? I got a few items of prep, but let's go to what you have first, and we'll cover that.
What I have is... Everything is falling apart for the Zelensky, for the whole Ukraine thing. It's all falling apart. Today he met with the Biden object in Washington, D.C. And I'm not exactly sure what news has come out from that. But, I mean, what you're likely to hear is he came and he talked and, you know, everything's fine. We're going to get him some aid. But the fact of the matter is everything's completely falling apart. Back in Kiev, he's got multiple people just gunning at him. He no longer has the support of the people. And I'm kind of surprised that he left the country. He supposedly left the country to go to the Argentine president's inauguration. But I mean, honestly, what Eastern European country president is going to leave their country at a time of war, at a time when he might be overthrown in a coup d'etat at any minute, to attend an inauguration for a president of a country on the other side of the world that you don't have any particular connection to? I think the idea was just to have an excuse for him to go by Washington, D.C. on the way back. At any rate, so he went by Washington, D.C. He was scheduled to have meetings with the Biden unit. with probably, you know, obviously Blinken and Victoria Nuland are going to be in on it. And then also with certain members of the Senate, Chuckie Schumer and Turtleneck Bitch McConnell. I'm sorry, what's his name?
Oh, Mitchell.
Mitch McConnell. Okay. And then also the Speaker of the House, Johnson. And the thing is, the Senate refused. The Senate did not pass the aid bill. You know, there's some bill worth $110 billion. $61 billion was supposed to be for Ukraine, and then a whole bunch for Israel. Israel's going to get his money no matter what. They're going to get it. Not that it's going to do them any good, but they're going to get it. And there was money for Taiwan in there, and then there was supposedly money for border security, which is a weird thing because the money that they're giving to Homeland Security, it's not going to keep illegal aliens out. It's going to pay for them while they're here. So the whole idea of giving Alejandro Mayorkas more money, I don't really get it. But at any rate, it didn't pass. And back in Kiev, you've got former President Poroshenko. He's had phone calls that have been eavesdropped on, or you know, they've been. There's this whole history in Ukraine of capturing cell phone calls. So Poroshenko was on the phone with other oligarchs. Poroshenko's a former president, but he was an oligarch himself, and you know, they're talking about ousting. Supposedly, they were talking about ousting Zelensky. The general Zaluzhny, who is the commander in chief of the Ukrainian military, supposedly was told to submit his resignation and said, "Screw you. You know, if you fire me, there's going to be consequences for you." So you've got pretty much open insubordination, or in, you know, whatever you want to call that. And then also you've got the mayor of Kiev, who was a former heavyweight boxing champion, Vitali Klitschko, and he gave an interview to Der Spiegel magazine in Germany. So this isn't even hearsay. This is an open interview. And he said that Zelensky is becoming authoritarian. And the only thing that's been holding Ukraine together are the mayors and governors, the regional governments. I think we discussed this maybe last week a little bit. And then, but just regarding Zaluzhny also, last month, he had an interview with The Economist magazine. So this is out in the open, where he was saying, well, you know, the situation in the battlefront has become a stalemate. And it's, you know, going to be difficult to win. Well, it's not a stalemate. It's a defeat. You know, you could say, well, the front lines haven't moved, so it's a stalemate. Well, the front lines might not have moved all that much, but you're having 10 Ukrainian deaths per one Russian death. There's little doubt that the ratios are more or less on that line. So it's all falling apart. There's no longer support in Congress. To the extent there was support, you know, all the oxygen for Ukraine. By Israel. So it's all fallen apart. And I, you know, it's hard to know what these people are going to say. Russia is now, you got President Putin, and he's talking now about, you know, directly or hinting at annexing the bulk of Ukraine. So not just these western or these eastern and southern provinces, but even Kiev. They don't have any interest in Lvov or Galicia in the far western parts of Ukraine, but the rest of it, no surprise. I mean, we always expected Kharkov and Odessa be annexed, so they're going to. It looks like, you know, this is just a done deal. There's no way to stop it. And it really shouldn't be a surprise. So I'm reporting on that. You can let me know what you think, and we'll discuss.
I just browsed the headlines I got from NBC 34 minutes ago. This is as of 6:31 Central Time. Biden announces $200 million in aid for Ukraine as Zelensky meets GOP skepticism in Congress. The Ukrainian president held meetings at the White House and with lawmakers in Congress, including senators and House Speaker Micah Johnson. Biden announced $200 million. That's kind of a lowball.
Yeah, well, let me just say, translate, $200 million with an M equals 0.2 billion, 0.2 billion. So the bill that Biden had asked for included $61 billion for Ukraine. And instead of $61 billion, he's saying, well, 0.2 billion. So that is 1/3 of 1% of what he had asked for.
Yeah, they say we'll continue to supply Ukraine with critical weapons and equipment as long as we can, including $200 million I just approved today in critical and needed equipment, additional air defense interceptors, artillery, and ammunition. This according to the Biden entity in a conference with Volodymyr Zelensky. But without supplemental funding, we're rapidly coming to an end of our ability to help Ukraine response to the urgent operational demands that it has. Zelensky, in an exclusive interview with NBC News after the conference, said that his meetings with lawmakers were helpful and that he got a chance to offer detailed explanation of progress in his country's war against Russia. Progress sounds like regress to me. Am I right?
Oh, yeah.
Zelensky said, I think we had a very good meeting with the senators. And he's surrounded by security guards in green uniforms as he left the Hall of States building following an appearance on Fox News. Zelensky also said, we spoke with both parties represented. I think they didn't know all the details about what was going on in the battlefield. Zelensky described the meeting with Biden as positive, and when asked if he believed the Ukraine would win the war, he said, yes, of course, Ukraine will win the war. This is some cognitive dissonance going on here, I would think, on both sides, on Zelensky's side and on lawmakers in Washington, because I think everybody's just focused on the Israeli-Palestine conflict and the genocide, and wanting to supply Israel with more tools to genocide Palestinian children and bomb hospitals and refugee centers. That's what it looks like to me, is that Ukraine's becoming obsolete in the eyes of even our own statesmen, alleged statesmen.
So one thing that people, I sound like a broken record, but what people need to understand is that this really was never first and foremost a military conflict. This was always political. It was political, and they were, you know, weaponizing the military. That sounds a little bit redundant. They were weaponizing the dollar and the economics. But the whole idea from day one was to overthrow Vladimir Putin. That was the idea, was to overthrow Vladimir Putin. And the, I'm sorry. Stop it, man. You know, these dogs, come on, what the heck? Let's go, come on. So anyway, I lost my train of thought, but the goal was to overthrow Vladimir Putin by what's the word? Provoking, entrapping him into invading Ukraine. Ukraine was always nothing more than a sacrificial lamb. There was no serious person ever thought Ukraine was going to beat Russia in a war. So it was just to sacrifice Ukraine. Ukraine was literally a pawn on the chessboard. Sacrifice Ukraine, and then used the Russian invasion as a pretext to get economic sanctions, unprecedented economic sanctions. And they pulled out all the stops on those economic sanctions, did things that they'd never done before. And it didn't work. And they had no exit ramp. They had no reverse gear. There could have been a reasonable deal reached in March, about, you know, a month after the invasion, where Russia's demands at the time would have been met, which was only for recognition of Crimea, recognition of these other two provinces, Donetsk and Lugansk, and guarantees of Ukrainian neutrality. They could have had that. But of course, by that time, Ukraine was already in like a worse position than it was before. A lot of men had died. It wasn't something that either Zelensky or the people at the State Department could just back out from. They couldn't back out from that. And so you had Boris Johnson fly in to say, no, you got to keep fighting. You got to keep going. We'll send you all these weapons. They had no reverse gear. But once China, at that point in March, China had already said no to the sanctions. They said no. And without China being part of the sanctions, they would fail. And the thing is, well, I say it's political. I'm not a military analyst, but you don't have to be a military analyst. The fact of the matter was that there was no way that Putin and the Russian government, and Putin's led the Russian government for over two decades, there was no way that they were just going to roll over. This was an existential issue for them. They weren't going to roll over. They weren't going to let a very aggressive NATO that had just been pushing and pushing and pushing establish, incorporate Ukraine into NATO, put nuclear weapons 7 minutes from Moscow. They weren't going to let that happen. They had put their foot down. It was existential. And it's not existential to the United States. So the balance of, what do you call it, determination, the balance of will, was completely out of whack. So the Russians, the Russians were willing to go to the mat. They were really willing to do whatever was necessary. They were not going to allow the United States to move into Ukraine and deploy nuclear weapons there, which was what was on the menu. They weren't going to let it happen, and it was a political thing. And the Russians, you didn't have to be a military analyst to know that the Russians had the ability not to let the United States get its way. Even if it led to World War III, even if it led to destruction, the Russian government was not going to let itself be regime changed.
And I'm alone. Skin, yeah, chill me to the bone.
Charles de Gaulle once said, actually, it's difficult to envision in this regard any other criterion, any other standard than gold. Yes, gold, which does not change in nature, which can be made into either bars, ingots, or coins, which has no nationality, and which is considered in all places and all times the immutable and fiduciary value par excellence. So when the question is, why gold? It's simple, my friends. The answer to that question is simply, why not? Like it or not, precious metals will always be the world's reserve currency. Even though nations do not define their currency by their worth in, say, gold, individuals still buy gold and silver to protect themselves from inflation. The more money a nation's central bank pours into the economy, the less valuable its currency, the dollar is, which means the price of everything else rises. $21 up for a bag of dog food. Seeing that the dollar is cheap, that's why the cost of everything goes up. It's because the buying power, the value of the dollar has tanked. It's worth nothing. And yet gold that your family would have owned in 1907 will buy at least the same amount of goods, if not far more. William McPhee once stated, it's extraordinary how many emotional storms one may weather in safety if one is ballasted with ever so little gold. The truth about money, gold versus cash in a crisis, gold, a valuable thing to store, the power of gold in times of crisis. historical sketch of paper currency. Oh, and beware the ides of rare coin dealers, and Alan Greenspan's speech on gold and economic freedom. How interesting. I'm going to give you gold and silver in 5 easy lessons. Seeking out the most efficient and most secure route to owning gold and converting it into widely accepted currency is the next best thing to enjoying gold-backed currency, my friends. In a world of central bankers hell-bent on devaluing our savings, you need to own private gold standard. Contact me, Jeffrey Bennett at Kettle Moraine Limited, by calling our phone number at 602-799-8214. That's 602-799-8214.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Let the United States get its way, even if it led to World War III, even if it led to destruction. The Russian government was not going to let itself be regime changed, and that's what it came down to. And so this shouldn't be a surprise for Victoria Nuland. What was at stake? It wasn't her existence as a person. It wasn't a life and death issue for her. It was just a job issue for her. And you know, she's trying to push a Jewish agenda, but you know, they were just trying to dominate the whole world. Now they've really screwed up now. But anyway, I know I've been talking a lot. I'm just going to shut up for a second and kick it back to you.
Well, now that regime change in Russia is not feasible, I think you're seeing our alleged statesmen, specifically Johnson and the leader of the House, sort of abandoning that. Johnson met with Zelensky and in this NBC article stated that the responses of Ukraine and Zelensky have been insufficient. Johnson was asked by NBC whether the Congress would approve more aid for Ukraine, and he responded, "If they give us the border." So now even, you know, our own Congress is stating that they need to get clarified what the borders are of Ukraine. So I think this is insinuating that there are going to be new borders and that possibly the Donetsk would be not part of that border. I think that's what's insinuated here. This is interesting. Republicans have pushed back against Biden's proposed aid package, which also included funding for Israel and U.S. border operations, unless Democrats agree to pair the aid with tougher border policies. Republicans also have asked the White House for details on wartime strategy on how the administration defines victory in Ukraine. So say what you may about the Republicans, and I think the Republicans are saying this just because of the extreme pressure from their constituents on wanting to secure the U.S. border. So, you know, U.S. border protections have to be in there. Aid to Israel is in there, but before they approve more for Ukraine, they want to know established borders. They want to know what the strategy is coming out of this. You know, and they also want to know what would define a victory. So before they put more money into the Ukraine, what defines a victory?
You know, it's such a funny question, because there's no victory. There's no victory. You've had some girl who writes for, I guess, what is it, the New York Times or Financial Times or something, who's got connections to, you know, the Washington insiders, the Washington Jews, who's saying, you know, look, it's time to redefine the narrative. Stop making it about victory and start making it about defend. We're keeping Ukraine alive as a state, which is, that in itself is kind of a tall order at this point. But they're not talking about, the thing is, there's no victory for Ukraine. Ukraine is has lost, and this is going to be way more humiliating than the Afghan so-called botched pullout. This was all completely unnecessary, and we've been fed, we the American people have been fed all these lies about how hard Ukraine was winning and Zelensky's a hero and all of this. But no, he just wasted hundreds of thousands of his soldiers' lives, probably like 300,000. It's just a huge number with absolutely zero prospect of any kind of military victory. And of course, you know, it's all part of this Victoria Nuland hatched Jew plan to get overthrow Putin. And then when they couldn't overthrow Putin, they had no reverse gear. And so it just became about, well, let's keep it. If we can keep it going past the 2024 election, maybe we'll get four more years. Right. We'll just keep it going. Like it, now it's just all about. And this is disgusting when you think about the hundreds of thousands of people, the soldiers. I mean, it's mostly been soldiers. We're not talking about lots of civilian casualties. These are soldiers who are dying. And on the Russian side, by this time, they probably had, you know, 30 or 40,000 deaths themselves, you know, even if it's a 10-to-1 ratio. And if they've sacrificed, the more people, the more of their soldiers are sacrificing, you know, the less reason they have to be at all conciliatory. And at this point, you know, 2 years ago, you really weren't hearing this from Putin and the Russian government. But now what you're hearing is that the Ukrainian government is illegitimate. And it is. The Ukrainian government is a result of this 2014 coup that was a Victoria Nuland was in the State Department at a high level. She was in charge of Ukraine, the Ukraine project back then under Obama. And Vice President Biden was actually given kind of, Stephen F. Cohen called him the viceroy of Ukraine. So he was kind of the figurehead for this policy. Victoria Nuland was the actual brain behind it. And maybe they could have been. There's no one taking your place since you've been gone.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419. Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Welcome to my fourth annual Volkswagen Conspiracies Conference 2023, a virtual event on the 16th and 17th of December. Outstanding speakers: Ace Baker, Brian Davidson, Fred Lochter, Donald Jeffries, Stephanie Sledge, Dr. Meryl Ness, Giuseppe Vafangulo, Joaquin Egobian, Dr. Reed Labo, Jack Mullen, Joe Olson, Brian Davidson, Monique Lucan, Scott Bennett, Nick Kohlerstrom, Russ Winter, Ron Avery, Miriam Hanane, John Kaminsky, Sarah Westall, Dr. Catherine Horton. This is something you don't want to miss. 500 free Zoom tickets are available. Register now. Go to falseflagsandconspiracyconference.com/ticket/ to get it now.
Memory, your lamplight is burning holes. Recover the damage, bring it all home.
Viceroy of Ukraine. So he was kind of the figurehead for this policy. Victoria Nuland was the actual brain behind it. And maybe they could have, you know, they did overthrow the Ukrainian government, installed their own people. They did that. They got sanctions on Russia, but they never got the okay from Obama to take it to the next level. Presumably, Hillary would have given, I mean, the rumors were that Hillary is going to make Victoria Nuland the girl power secretary of state. She was going to have a girl power cabinet with women in charge of all the important offices, all the important departments. But at any rate, the project, it got sidetracked for 4 years because of Trump. And in those 4 years, Putin sanction-proofed the economy as much as he could. He improved relations with China. And so it didn't work. But, you know, they kept this up for the most cynical reasons. The project failed. It was obvious by March it had failed. But they kept it going, you know, for electoral reasons, because they wanted to keep their job. They want to keep Donald Trump out of office. They want to kick the can down the road. And meanwhile, it's not just the hundreds of thousands of soldiers who have died, but the country itself. I mean, you've had cities turned into rubble. You've had, 30%, 40%, like something like 20 or 30% of the population has just gone into exile, not exile, but gone into Europe as refugees. And they don't want to go back. Maybe they'll go back. So it's just destroyed. There's been massive destruction. At the end of the day, Russia is going to take over the bulk of the country. What they don't take over directly will probably just be turned into a puppet statelet. You know, it'll be allowed to exist as a nominally independent country, but will be, the old term was Finlandized, where they won't be allowed to have their own independent foreign policy. And they'll have to play nice by the Russians. It'll just be a little statelet. it'll be, you know, maybe one third or one quarter the size of the old Ukraine, and the rest of it's just going to get annexed to Russia and rebuilt. And it will be very nice when it's rebuilt, just like Chechnya is very nice after it's been rebuilt. And, you know, what's going on, what this is doing to American prestige, or the America in the world, in the international system, it's turning the United States not quite into a pariah, but almost. You know, we've got Israel, and we've got the EU and a couple other stragglers, and some of them, you know, a lot of the countries that had been considered our allies for decades, like Egypt or Saudi Arabia, they're joining BRICS. They're no longer Turkey. Turkey is a NATO country nominally, but, you know, these countries, the United States' position in the international system has gotten way cut down. And honestly, for us, for people who the American state under its current Jewish management, people like us who are more or less enemies of the state anyway, or treated as enemies, this is a good thing for us. You know, it's a shame. America had a lot of potential, I think, had not just promise. I think there's a lot to be said for its history, but the American state just completely went off the rails, and it's a train wreck, and we got to salvage what we can salvage. But anyway, I'll kick it back to you.
So in analyzing this NBC article, and there's a lot of reading between the lines here that I'm doing, if you understand reading between the lines, what's insinuated by the actual text of the article is that, in particular, lawmakers in general in America, in particular GOP lawmakers, are abandoning this Ukraine fundage. They're demanding clear borders. It seems that they're acquiescing to the fact that Russia is going to own the Donetsk and maybe then some. And they're actually arguing for, control of the U.S. borders before the Ukrainian borders. And I'm sure that's a result of backlash from their constituents. But also, this is interesting. J.D. Vance had an interesting thing here. He argued that it's in America's best interest for Ukraine to cede some of its land to end the war. That was a very interesting statement by Vance, for Ukraine to cede land to end the war. And then several Republican senators brought up the negotiations over border security with Zelensky, according to lawmakers who attended the meeting. It looks like they're coming to the this is what we would call in Christian circles a coming to Jesus meeting, where they're coming to the truth and they're like, yeah, we're not going to win this. We're not going to change the regime in Russia. So let's just put an end to this and establish some borders and cede land if necessary. Here's the question. Will they come to the same conclusion when the international community comes down on Israel and the overly apparent, crimes and genocide that Israel is committing against the Palestinians? Will eventually they come to this conclusion that Israel is going to have to cede land and end this conflict? Will they follow suit?
That's very interesting. And what you're saying is a precedent is about to be established. And, the land that Israel would be asked to give up is land that's not theirs in the first place, right? At this point, not really anybody is talking about anything more than going back to pre-1967 territory for Israel. Because in 1967, it conquered a bunch of territory. And, there are all sorts of UN resolutions. And in late 1967, there was 242. 242 is what you hear the most. That's a Security Council resolution that requires Israel to withdraw from the land that it conquered in the 1967 war. And that includes Gaza. That includes the West Bank and the Golan Heights. There's a tiny little part of Lebanon, too, called Sheba Farms. And then the Sinai Peninsula, it already did give back to Egypt back in, you know, like 40 years ago after the Camp David Accords. But it's had massive colonization projects, settlement projects in the West Bank and East Jerusalem, which is adjacent to the West Bank, with 70,000 Israeli illegal aliens on those lands. And it's also done similarly in Golan Heights. And this is land that the idea that Israel would ever fully withdraw from those lands was only a pipe dream a couple of months ago. And now it's looking more and more like an inevitability. It's going to happen. Because Israel, the thing is, there's no military victory for Israel. Israel cannot kill its way out of this. The part of the world that really matters is disgusted with what's happened. It doesn't matter what boomers in America think, okay? Boomers in America are becoming increasingly irrelevant. And I say that as a boomer in America, but we're increasingly irrelevant. And America itself is increasingly irrelevant in no small part due to this whole Ukraine project, where we've lost so much support around the world over this. And, you know, the Ukraine project, especially like the economic sanctions, everything that they did backfired. These people like Victoria Nuland and Blinken and Janet Yellen and Alejandro Mayorkas and Merrick Garland aren't that smart, and everything that they've done is backfiring. And of course, they're creating a lot of carnage and chaos along the way, but they're not getting they're ruining things for Team Jew. You know, they are. They're ruining things for Team Jew. So, you know, Israel is, and, you know, Netanyahu's just made massive mistakes. They can't kill their way out of this. What matters now is this massive de facto alliance that's emerged between Russia and China and now the Muslim world. You know, you're having, in 3 weeks, you've got Iran, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and United Arab Emirates all joining BRICS. And they're all on board. The Chinese, the Russians, the Arabs are all on board with this. And they're there. And, you know, they've got they've got the geography on their side. They've got the military assets on their side. They've got the economics on their side. And it doesn't matter what American boomers think.
Right. And specifically American Christian Zionist boomers, to be really specific. So I think this is a precedent in the same way that, you know, U.S. lawmakers are seeing, number one, they're seeing a black hole in Ukraine and just of money just pouring in, and no, the results that they expected were not happening. In the same way, I think they're going to eventually see this in the Israeli genocide of Palestine, and with the international community also intervening, and they're going to see this as just an untenable situation where Israel is going to be forced to give up land, and there's going to be a forced two-state solution. Now, I would argue, and I want to get your thoughts on this, I would argue that in this, Israel probably will negotiate a third temple. I think they'll be able to get control of the Aliska Mosque and get their temple built. I have many reasons to say that are probably biblical. But even if you want to just go geopolitical, the international community, even though it has observed Israel's atrocities, they are still so pro-Israel. I mean, the fact that there's not been an intervention as of yet speaks to that fact, that the international community is almost, dare I say, afraid of Israel. Why are they afraid of Israel? The United States is becoming irrelevant. I don't know, but there's this fear there where they feel like they have to give the Jews something. And so in the same way that the Ukraine is now being asked, to secede territory and draw some borders and let's get an end to this, I think that's going to apply to the Israeli-Palestinian situation where Israel is going to be asked, you got to secede something. You got to give something. We'll give you something in return, but this thing's got to stop. And this is all from, not only the fact that it's just a money pit, a black hole money pit, but also that constituents, not only in America on the left, but, globally, people are pushing back against this. And I think it's an untenable situation where politicians in the West can just keep on going with the Israeli support. They're going to eventually be forced to push Israel into ceding some territory here, and the Palestinians will get their own state. That's what I think. And I think Israel, though, in return, will get their temple. What do you think about the temple stuff?
Right now, the international community is led by Vladimir Putin and Xi Jinping. And these are two people who are, on the one hand, risk averse, but on the other hand, they are methodical and steadfast, right? So you look at the way Vladimir Putin handled Ukraine, okay? And when this all started, there are a lot of people who said, why didn't he just roll into Kiev with tanks? Why didn't he just decapitate the Ukrainian leadership, just bomb the capitals and decapitate the leadership? Well, okay, you can ask why, maybe he could have done something differently. It would have been a lot higher risk. There would have been a lot much higher risk of a World War III. The strategy he used was slow and methodical, and it involved a certain amount of sacrifice, but it was also assured of victory, right? It was lower risk. There was more sacrifice. If they had just bombed the hell out of Kiev, done a decapitation move, maybe they wouldn't have lost 30,000 Russian soldiers, but maybe you would have had World War III. Okay, so I think it's to just move in right away in the first month or the second month and have Russian troops landing on the beach in Gaza or whatever, or even Turkish troops doing it, that's risking more escalation. That's taking more risk for escalation than Putin or Xi Jinping are willing to do. And you look at what Putin did in Ukraine. Okay, so it's taken a couple of years, and there's been sacrifices. But at the end of the day, what's going to happen? Russia's getting not just all of its initial demands, but they're also going to wind up annexing the bulk of Ukraine, probably 2/3 of Ukraine, 3/4 of Ukraine. They're getting their way. And so the same way, what's going on in the case of Gaza, it's not like Russia sacrificing their own soldiers, tens of thousands of their own soldiers, but tens of thousands of Palestinian women and children and other civilians, they're dying. To avoid a massive regional war or World War III. But what Israel is doing, there's no path to victory that Israel has at this point. They can kill and kill and kill, but they're losing the political war. The more of people they kill, they're going to have boomers and Christian Zionists on their side no matter what, but these people are irrelevant now. They don't matter, and it's antagonizing.
Sometimes when your hopes have all been shattered, you're still with a journey. You wonder how you keep going. Think of all the things.
republicbroadcasting.org. Smash that donate button like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? Like, what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Kill, yeah, they're going to have boomers and Christian Zionists on their side no matter what, but these people are irrelevant now. They don't matter. And it's antagonizing the entire rest of the world and the parts of the world that matter. And, you know, there's no military victory for Israel because they can't take their tanks through all this rubble. And at the end of the day, the more they do this, the more the Muslims in the streets of Cairo and Tehran and Karachi and Istanbul, you know, the more they get angry. And at the end of the day, Israel is surrounded by hundreds of millions of Muslims. Heavily armed Muslims in many cases. The Turks have a huge military. So you add the populations of Turkey, Iran, and Egypt, just those three countries. That's almost the size of the United States. And then you throw in, you know, Syria and Yemen, which is already involved, and Lebanon. You're talking about more Arabs. You're talking about a bigger population that potentially could be aimed at Israel, all very well armed. The Turks are extremely well armed. You know, Iran has been, like, according to Netanyahu himself, Iran has been weeks away from a nuclear weapon for years. And of course, the Pakistanis already have nuclear weapons. There's no military way out of this for Israel. And just as Zelensky, his government is about to collapse. He's got internally all of these people gunning at him. Netanyahu was already on extremely thin ice. There were demonstrations, massive demonstrations in Israel all summer long trying to oust him. And, you know, he got people to rally, you know, rally around the flag for a couple of months, but this is not going to last. So that's my response to it. I know we're just about out of time. Do you have any other thoughts?
Well, yeah, in the same way that American lawmakers are sort of giving up on the Ukraine and saying, look, you want more money, we got to see some borders. We need to see an end to this. We need to see light at the end of the tunnel. I think that's going to play out, too, in the Israel-Palestine incident, where American lawmakers are going to be eventually forced to the table because of their constituents, and they're going to say, yeah, we're going to have to see a two-state solution. You know, we're going to have to see this Israeli-Palestine border. But I'm making the case that in the midst of this, that Israel will negotiate a third temple. That's the case that I'm making.
Okay. Well, we heard it here first.
And I heard it first. Thank you, Patrick, for joining me on In Plain Sight. We'll have part two of Patrick and Jeremy on National Bugle, 12 noon central. We got to change our commercials.
Yes, we'll do that.
All right, you stay classy, my friend.
It's a struggle, but I'm getting there.
All right, see you tomorrow on National Bugle.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To learn more about this amazing breakthrough, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.